Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
And we go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline to welcome to the show David Cobb of CBSSports.com, covering college football and college basketball. David, we appreciate the time as always. In the last week, Tennessee has gone to Nashville to beat Vanderbilt and then beat LSU at home. We've seen Uros Plavschitz playing a bigger role. They were mixing it up a little bit before the game, during the game against LSU. Vandy as well. What have you thought about what you've seen from Tennessee in the last week, the Plavšić involvement as the Vols get ready for Florida tonight?
Yeah, I felt bad for the last like month or so because I was on here with you guys probably in December and was kind of knocking Rick for playing so many guys and was sort of suggesting that Uros may not have a place in the rotation. And boy, have I been proven wrong there. In fact, I looked it up after that Vandy game. And at that time, Uros Plavšić had played, I think, 25 or more minutes in just three games during his 50-game tenure at Tennessee. And on those three occasions, he had reached double figures every time. And they've all come against SEC opponents. So, I mean, maybe it's the exact opposite of what I was saying a month or so ago. Maybe it's a situation where they just need to give the guy, you know, a steady role. And we talked about it last week, and I think it's true and worth repeating that John Fulkerson, over the course of his career, has had some really big games every now and then. But I think when he's at his best and when he's most consistent is when he provides you a spark off the bench as opposed to being that go-to guy. So, yeah, they may have found something there. Uros looks like a really good basketball player when he knows what his role is and when he feels like he's actually going to be out on the court for a little while. And he gave him that edge, too. He gave him that sort of emotional spark by being a little bit of a villain and a little bit of a bully. And I think Tennessee needs that. They need some of that toughness, some of that Admiral Schofield swagger, if you will. So it was cool to see Uros bring that.
Do you think Tennessee is getting closer to kind of figuring out its identity? I know there are things offensively that Rick Barnes is still trying to solve with this team. Do you think the Vols are making significant progress and getting closer to that now that we're kind of halfway through the SEC schedule?
Man, I really feel like it would help if Olivier Nkamwa would start knocking down some threes because it would space the floor quite a bit more than it's being spaced right now. And he is shooting a decent percentage on him. He just doesn't take a lot of them, and you don't see opponents close out on him. So when I look at Tennessee and watch them play, I see a guy in Kennedy Chandler who can get into the paint almost at will because he's such a good ball handler and he's so agile and quick. But once he gets there's not really anywhere for him to go a lot of times because Tennessee often plays two traditional bigs, and neither of them can shoot. No matter what the combination is, if it's Kamwa, Fulkerson, Plavšić, Huntley Hatfield, you name it, none of those four are really like serious threats to shoot from the outside. And so the paint ends up getting clogged. That's to me the biggest issue with Tennessee's offense. I feel like they've modernized a little bit this year by shooting a lot more threes and kind of trying to replicate what Alabama did so successfully last year. But maybe next season and on into the future, maybe that next step is recruiting more stretch bigs, because if you recall, even Grant Williams could step out to the corner and shoot, and they could go small too, play Admiral at the four, and then all five players could shoot. So I think they need to get back to that with their bigs if you know, we're looking into the future a little bit.
We're talking to David Cobb from CBSSports.com. What do you think about this week for Tennessee? The Vols host Florida, which is coming off short rest and not at 100%, it seems, in tonight's game, and then Rick Barnes going back to Texas. Tennessee playing at Texas this weekend.
I know. Yeah, that's going to be fun. It sounds like they're going to do some cool stuff for Rick Barnes, his first time going back there to Texas. And, you know, I think as the years have gone by, there's probably a much greater appreciation now for what he did at Texas. And the results tapered off over time. And in some ways, I think you're beginning to see his Tennessee tenure perhaps mirror that Texas tenure in some ways. But I would guess that a lot of Texas fans would probably warn Tennessee fans about growing frustrated, because they went through a wilderness period after they got rid of Barnes where, you know, the success under Shaka Smart just wasn't there. And, I mean, a lot of people thought that they would be a top 10 team this season in year one under Chris Beard. I thought that, that Texas might be a top 10 caliber team, and they haven't been. So I think Rick going in there, he'll be appreciated now that they're, you know, several years removed from his tenure. That'll be cool to see. And then, yeah, Florida, no excuses tonight. You got to get that one done against a Gators team that's really slumping, especially at home. You can't drop that one if you want to be in the mix for a double bye, you know, once this thing is all said and done.
What was your reaction to kind of everything happening in the SEC last night? You had the upset for Georgia over Alabama. You had a near scare for Auburn. You had Kentucky winning a competitive game. What was your kind of takeaway from what we saw in the SEC last night?
I think Mississippi State's good. I've been wanting to think that they're good for a long time, but them going up to Rupp and taking that game to double OT when it looked like they were, you know, done for, you know, with just a few minutes left in the game, really impressive. I think Mississippi State has some talent, and I think they're pretty deep. And Iverson Molinar is honestly one of the more underrated players in the country. So it's pretty impressed with Mississippi State. My big thing with Kentucky right now is just like, man, how good could they be if they ever had Sahvir Wheeler and Ty Washington both healthy, you know, for the same big conference game? Because, you know, their two losses so far this season have come with Sahvir Wheeler knocked out early against LSU, and then with Ty Washington knocked out midway through the first half at Auburn. And I think if they're fully healthy in the backcourt for either of those games, could be looking at different outcomes there. So definitely think that Kentucky is still legit, even though they struggled a little bit last night. And then otherwise, just a total stunner with Alabama. I don't really know what's going on with him. The defense is just not probably quite as good as it was last year. Maybe they miss, you know, Herb Jones, that glue guy, more than perhaps they thought they would.
David Cobb, CBSSports.com. With that win against Kentucky, did Auburn put itself as the team to beat in the SEC?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's a deep team. It's a legit team. They won last night, guys, with Jabari Smith going like 2-for-15 from the floor. I mean, you know, Auburn's shooting percentage was somewhere in the low 30s last night. And when you go on the road and your star goes 2-for-15, you have your worst shooting percentage of the season, and you still win, like that is a sign that you're a pretty good team. That was their worst game of the season, and they still won it. So that's the mark of a conference championship caliber team. And the fact that they got a 2-game lead now in the standings, and they don't have to play Kentucky again, they don't have to go to Rupp, huge advantage. I mean, if they were going to Rupp, I would say that, you know, all bets are off and that the thing was still open. But I mean, it is absolutely Auburn's to lose right now.
When you're kind of looking at Auburn from a national standpoint, we obviously know what the AP poll and the KenPom rankings are saying about the Tigers, but kind of from what you've seen on the eye test, how do you kind of compare Auburn as a national championship contender with the likes of Gonzaga, UCLA, Baylor, Duke, Kansas, all these top-tier teams, some programs that have been there before? Where do you see Auburn in the mix for those guys?
Yeah, I mean, right there with them, absolutely, because the difference with this Auburn team is the defense. It's the best defensive team that Bruce Pearl has had at Auburn. It might be better than any defensive team that he had at Tennessee, and the big reason for that is Walker Kessler, one, huge difference maker on the inside as a shot blocker. Jabari Smith, super versatile, can guard a lot of different players and block shots. And then, I mean, you know, the guards and like Katie Johnson, just a ferocious on-ball defender and the absolute last guy that you want in your grill when you're trying to make something happen off the dribble. So they can get after you in the backcourt. They can get after you at the rim. They're just a really difficult team to play against defensively, which sets them apart, because the Pearl teams have always been fun offensively. They've always been up-tempo, trigger happy, you know, just like they were at Tennessee. But the difference this season is that you know, elite rim protector in Walker Kessler, and that defense going from like okay to like really, really good.
David Cobb, CBSSports.com. A football thought before we let you go here. Caleb Williams, where is he playing quarterback next year?
It's funny seeing a report yesterday, I think it was from On3, suggesting Wisconsin as a legitimate possibility. Okay. You know, what dairy farmer up there is offering him NIL? That's what I want to know. I mean, come on. The guy's not going to Wisconsin, right? Like, I mean, I guess if you wanted to follow the Russell Wilson path, but no, it's just, I think it's going to be USC in the end, but he's got to choose soon, right? Because all these ad drop dates for classes are coming up. And in some cases, they've already passed. So, yeah, the Wisconsin thing is interesting, but I'm still betting on USC.
Yeah, isn't there kind of an element of, oh, yeah, they do have to go to class and go to school when you have to remember the semester guidelines and all that stuff?
You know, I think some places you can get the provost on the phone and be like, look, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you follow college football, but we can make some exceptions for this guy, right?
Yeah.
And let's just be honest. The schools with the provost who will accommodate you like that, probably the schools that we're going to be looking at as national title contenders.
Yeah, you might not be wrong there. CBSSports.com, a ton of college basketball coverage, I have to imagine, right now, now that we're in full swing. February is like, that's your month where you have to put everything together to make your tournament run.
Yeah, absolutely. So we did a piece just the other day about teams outside the top 50 of the net that we think have a shot at it. Arkansas is my pick. They were 55 in the net as of just the other day. But I think Musk has those guys starting to figure it out. So I don't know that they're making an Elite Eight run, but there's Arkansas and some others who are gearing up for, you know, a big month ahead here. So yeah, we'll have plenty of coverage as the weeks unfold. And you know what, now it's like almost football-esque in the sense that we have two massive job openings with over a month left still in the season in Maryland and Louisville. So keep an eye out for a candidates piece from myself and Matt Norlander here in a couple hours about, you know, who Louisville may look to now that it looks like Chris Mack is on the way out.
Go read the coverage at CBSSports.com. Hey, David, thank you for the time as always. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you again next week.
All right.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.